You are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is happening? Welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Thursday, March the 18th, and the Pistons get a win. All they do is beat the Toronto Raptors. This is your boy Matt Shook, the host of the Locked On Pistons podcast, a sports writer here in Detroit City covering sports gambling for PlayMichigan.com, a Pistons fan and follower my whole life, just like you guys, and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well.
And I'm Brother Brian, and I needed that medicine. I am allergic to five-game losing streaks.
Getting a good night's sleep can be much easier said than done, but don't worry. Our good friends at CBDMD have exactly what you need to help you unwind and sleep harder than all-star voters slept on, we'll say, Jeremy Grant here in the ad copy there. Sleep PM bath salts fuse superior CBD and melatonin with a mixture of Epsom, Dead Sea, and Himalayan salts to turn any bathtub into a luxury spa experience and give you the relaxation that you desperately deserve. And to make it even easier to relax, regroup, and recharge, they're offering all of our listeners 25% off your next order when you use the promo code NBA at checkout. Once again, that's CBDMD.com, promo code NBA, for 25% off your purchase of superior CBD products from CBDMD.com. Thanks for listening. Thanks for spreading the word about the Locked On Pistons podcast. Today, we're talking Pistons win. Whenever they play teams from Canada, they win. That's always been the thing with the Pistons. We know that. Also got a little bit about a Piston who will be returning to the lineup in a short period of time and what Piston that might impact going forward. The one that I always get questions about, especially these days. A little bit later on, Fox Sports Detroit will be no longer by the end of this month, and we'll tell you what's taken its place. And some people aren't so happy about it, and it's a little bit understandable. So give me a follow on Twitter at @Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore for that. Also the Locked On Pistons Twitter account. And check us out on Facebook at Locked On Pistons-Matt Shook. Give Brother Brian a follow at bshook12 on Twitter, and also the Play Michigan Twitter account, play_Michigan. I think we got everything out of the way. Brother Brian, what's going on, man?
And that was a fun game to watch tonight. There were a lot of good things that you can see starting to develop with this team when they need it, when they get into some crunch time situations. So I'm excited to talk about what we saw tonight.
Yeah, so let's get right to it. The Pistons snapped the losing streak and got the win at home against the Raptors from the Great White North.
Yeah, go to 11-29, snap a four-game losing streak, able to kind of get back in that winning ways. We got a couple of winnable games coming up here over the next couple. But, you know, this game was won because of three things. It was rebounding, it was free throw shooting, and it was clutch shooting at the end. And that came from Jeremy Grant. But there were a trio of guys who had very consequential double-doubles for the Pistons, led by Sadiq Bey, who had his third double-double of his rookie season, 28 points, 12 rebounds, just he was grabbing huge rebounds, hitting huge shots. He was 6 of 10 from three-point range. Just a great all-around game for Sadiq Bey tonight.
Yeah, he was outstanding, one of his better games as a Detroit Piston. And the thing about Sadiq Bey, I remember the Boston game, I think when he had 30 there, it was like you were kind of – he kept making shots and making shots and making shots, and you were like shocked, or not shocked, but surprised he was having such a good game. What kind of strikes me about his progression now is that, like, it didn't seem – yeah, of course he had an outstanding game, 28 and 10 or 28 and 12, but – It didn't seem like he was like forced or that this guy's doing all this stuff. It was more like, that's kind of what Sadiq Bey does. But of course, this was the high volume version of that. But I think that kind of speaks more to his progression so far this year.
Yeah, and two other guys that got double-doubles for the Pistons on Wednesday night were Mason Plumlee, 10 points, 14 rebounds to lead the team, and DeLon Wright, 18 points and 10 rebounds. He also had 8 assists. He was knocking on the door for a triple-double last night.
Yeah, and another great stat line from Josh Jackson as well. In only 24 minutes, he got 16, 6, and 5 with 6 assists and 5 rebounds, a couple of hustle plays as well, a guy who really asserted himself well in this one too.
We'd be remiss not to mention Jeremy Grant's 23 points. It almost seems pedestrian at this point with the level of play he's shown so far. Three blocks as well. And another great game for Isaiah Stewart that's not going to completely show up on the stat sheet, maybe. 10 points, 4 rebounds doesn't exactly jump out at you. But there were points in the game where he was really kind of disrupting the game on both ends for the Pistons.
Yeah, this is a Toronto team that's a little bit soft inside now. We remember the Marc Gasol times and Valanciunas before that. But they're kind of going in there with Baines is really the only center, and Boucher is not a strong guy. So there's room for a guy like Isaiah Stewart to have a big game against the Raptors. And like you said, the stats weren't outstanding. They're solid stats, but the presence was big for Isaiah Stewart when he was out there. And like you said, Plumlee, a good game as well. But how about that dagger from Jeremy Grant late? He's got Kyle Lowry on him. He dances around with him a little bit. Jeremy Grant, I've said it before, I think, but his season this year, a lot of people look stupid, myself included, about it. But one of them that you got to kind of look at a little bit sideways is Michael Malone out in Denver, because this is a team that could really use a Jeremy Grant type right now. They had him in-house, and he just wasn't even close to attempting any of this stuff. And now it's like when he gets the ball and he's isolated at the top of the key right now, I feel really good about the fact that he's going to get a nice shot off. He's going to get to the rim, or that huge step back. I mean, with those long legs, he takes that step back with Kyle Lowry having really no chance on it, and gets a clean look and knocks it down. And anytime you get a big time shot like that from a guy who you expect and hope to be part of the future and some real winning down the road for this team, even a guy like me who's rooting for losses and wants the tank, it can be happy about a shot and a performance like that.
And that play came right after hitting two clutch free throws again to, you know, keep the lead at a you know, pretty safe distance, or at least more than one possession. And it's kind of the last part of the game I really hadn't seen yet, is kind of that closing or that clutch. And tonight was the first game I can point to as kind of a signature Jeremy Grant closing out the game for the Pistons win. And I think that was just kind of the only thing that was missing. Didn't really have that signature, you know, game-ending play for the Pistons in a win, in front of fans for the first time tonight, which was great to see. But now we have something we can point to and see this guy does know how to close. And against a good team, albeit, you know, still a little bit undermanned, you know. But Norman Powell would love to play the Pistons every night. Scored 43 on them after, was it a 37-point performance the last time? Whatever it was, mm-hmm. in the high 30s. So he seems to just be a Piston killer this year.
Yeah, he looked outstanding tonight. Made it look easy at times, that dunk on the baseline. Just a really strong performance by him. You know, a guy that Casey helped groom a little bit in Toronto has become at least a solid starter. More than that, you know, a mid-range near star, really, at this point. And kudos to Norman Powell for getting it done. But this Toronto team, I mean, they seem like they're teetering on a little bit of a disaster. They had the COVID situation with all those guys, and you can tell that Van Vliet's kind of getting back right now. And Lowry doesn't quite look like himself. I don't know what the rest of his season looks like. There's some trade talk involving him as well. That'd be a big salary to move in the middle of the season. But I think there's a chance that this Toronto team could fold up the tent. We've heard that Ujiri's a guy who wants to shake it up and maybe do a little bit of a rebuild at some point. And we know the Pistons have the second-round pick of the Toronto Raptors. So, you know, whether it's a 5 picks difference and they tear it down a little bit, that could be a decent size difference for an early to mid-second-round pick. So if you're a Pistons fan, you want Kyle Lowry getting moved. You want Masai Ujiri getting assets as opposed to going for it, because this is a team that, yeah, I'm sure they'll get it together if they want to at some point and solidly get into the playoffs, but it's not a team that you expect to make any kind of deep playoff run at this point, especially the way that Siakam just doesn't look like the same guy that he has been at the early part of his career.
And Kyle Lowry did have 15 assists, so he had a good game there. But they're just not going to overcome this team. Raptors team can't overcome when Lowry and Van Vliet combine 4 of 26, each 2 of 13, and then 1 of 14 from 3. Norman Powell can be as hot as he was. If you got those two guys not shooting that well, then they're going to have a really rough night against a team like the Pistons, who they should be able to run pretty well out of the gym. The Pistons were able to cover the Bet Online 6.5-point spread. And that was for the third time in four games they've covered. And the over came in for the first time in four games. The Pistons will be back in action on Friday night in Houston at 8 o'clock on, it still will be, Fox Sports Detroit. And 97.1 the ticket.
Yeah, you mentioned the Rockets. They dropped their 18th straight tonight. Unbelievable. This is a team that, although Christian Wood's back at practice apparently and might be ready to go, he might actually have played tonight as far as I know. They were suiting up and got blasted by the Warriors as they do every night. They've lost 18 straight. The Pistons are only a half a game ahead of Houston right now in the race for the bottom. Well, they're 11-29 and Houston is 11-28. So, if really all intents and purposes, they're basically tied. Minnesota still the worst team in the NBA with 9 wins right now. Christian Wood did play tonight for Houston and had 21 points in 26 minutes, 8 of 12 shooting, 9 rebounds for the Rockets in their loss to Golden State. So, not a lot of rust on that young man. And that's a good thing for Pistons fans. You want him to play well, and maybe they can win a few games here down the stretch. So we'll see how that all comes along. But we talked a lot about Sadiq Bey, and that is the guy who is the Michelob Ultra Player of the Week. He brings joy to Pistons fans. Throw Isaiah Stewart in there as well. Saben Lee a lot of times too. Brings joy to Pistons fans, and it's what it's all about. The journey, the joy, and that's what Michelob Ultra is there with you for as well. It's only worth it if you enjoy it. The 2.6 carbs and 95 calories. The joy creates success. Enjoyment isn't the end game. It's the whole game. It's all about that joy, all about that happiness, and all about that enjoyment. Sadiq Bey knocking down shots, looking like he's been there for 10 years and looking poised and an NBA player from day one, which is kind of how he build when they drafted him, and that's certainly been the truth for this young man out of Villanova. Are you happy because you win? Well, you're happy because you won if you're a Pistons fan tonight. But are you happy because you win, or do you win because you're happy? Michelob Ultra. This episode is sponsored by Blue Chew. Blue Chew is making waves and bringing more confidence to the bedroom. Blue Chew is a unique online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but in chewable form and at a fraction of the cost. Blue Chew's tablets combat all forms of ED. It can help men gain extra confidence when it's time to perform. Blue Chew is an online prescription service, so no visits to the doctor's office, no awkward conversations, and no waiting line at the pharmacy, and it ships right to your door in a discreet package. The process is simple. You sign up at BlueChew.com, consult one of their licensed medical providers, and once you're approved, you receive your prescription within days. The best part, it's all done online. Blue Chew's licensed medical providers work with you to find the right ingredient and strength for your prescription. If you don't like swallowing pills, no problem here. Blue Chew's Sildenafil and Tadalafil tablets are chewable. Blue Chew's tablets are made in the USA, and they prepare and ship direct, so it's cheaper than a pharmacy. So if you could benefit from extra confidence when it's time to perform, visit BlueChew.com for more details and important safety information. And we've got a special deal for our listeners. Try Blue Chew free when you use promo code LOCKEDON at checkout. Just pay the $5 shipping. That's BlueChew.com, promo code LOCKEDON to receive your first month free. And we thank Blue Chew for sponsoring this podcast.
Yes, sir! Betting on the Pistons doesn't have to be a guessing game if you listen to the new Locked On Bets podcast hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling. Get daily picks, blowout specials, wrong team favored picks, and Lee Sterling's lock of the day. Follow the Locked On Bets podcast brought to you by BetOnline.ag wherever you get podcasts.
Thank you, Brother Brian. This is Matt Shook, host of the Locked On Pistons podcast, with you as always for today's show. Also wanted to note, Rob Murphy was subsequently fired by the Eastern Michigan basketball program today, but he was hired as president of the Motor City Cruise, so he's going to be taking over as kind of the team liaison of sorts with the Motor City Cruise, the G League team, which will be starting up next year. So congratulations and welcome to the Pistons world to Rob Murphy. And Brian, I also wanted to bring up real quick that Josh Jackson, before the game, you mentioned the fans, 750 fans there, did kind of an address to the fans before the game, did a great job on the mic, but the Detroiter welcoming the Detroiters back to their NBA home. But just a sign from me that the Pistons, you don't want to read too much into these kind of things, but maybe they are somewhat convinced of the long-term status of Josh Jackson with this team. So am I reading too much into that by thinking that it would be strange, especially to trade him a week after inviting him to do something like that?
I think trading Josh Jackson would be a very un-Troy Weaver-like move at this point. It's not something we've seen him do. That's not to say that there's anybody on a 11-win team at this point that should be untouchable, and if the price is right, you should always take that phone call. But it would just feel like an un-Troy Weaver-like maneuver at this point. You're not going to get much younger than him. He's shown nothing but upside. He's home. It seems like he's turned whatever off-the-court issues he may have had earlier in his career seem to be a thing of the past. So I don't think you're reading too much into the specific event, or you might be reading too much into the specific event. I think, though, in the bigger picture, Troy Weaver moving Josh Jackson doesn't seem to be something that aligns with other moves that he's made.
Yeah, coming into the Troy Weaver era and coming into this offseason, I think a lot of us were just thinking that you play the trade stock market, you play the value game, and slowly but surely years and years of work where this move, you get a little bit more value in this trade, you sign a value contract, and then you maybe trade them if they get the upside. So within those traditional parameters of what I thought a rebuild might be, having Josh Jackson overachieve this season and maybe seeing what is available for him on the trade market may have been one of those types of moves. But like you said, very astutely, Troy Weaver doesn't seem to be that guy. He's more concerned with getting the right mix of guys in here, getting the right type of guys in here. And obviously he sought out Josh Jackson this offseason. It's been the high range of what you would have expected and hoped for Josh Jackson so far this year, and certainly playing like a guy who wants to be a Detroit Piston for a long time. And I'm here for it, if that's how that all works out in the end. But I do want to talk about a couple of French guys, Brian, as Killian Hayes. We finally got some news this week. He talked to the media as well, but it sounds like positive progression in his hip injury and that he's cleared to do some stuff, basketball activity, and then down the line as this continues, full contact kind of work, practicing and whatnot, and that about 3 weeks from, I believe, yesterday or today, that he will be reevaluated again. And it sounds like there might be optimism that shortly after that, he'll be back on the court for the Detroit Pistons. So sounds like maybe mid-April, maybe even a little bit like earlier April, that Killian Hayes could be back at point guard for the Pistons. We both talked about how hopefully he's brought along slowly and just gets his kind of his feet wet so that next year doesn't feel like quite like rookie season part two and more like something you can build on at the end of the season. That would be great. Obviously, we've seen these young players like Bay and sometimes Lee and also Stewart playing so well together, especially in that second unit. It would just be great to have Killian out there, maybe throw a Josh Jackson out there too. That could be a fun five, and if Lee and Hayes can play together a little bit at times, it'd be a fun group, and I think it'd be a nice culmination of this season to watch that team have some good moments together on the court.
Yeah, Killian Hayes has just become kind of the cherry on top of the sundae right now for this draft class, and I'm more excited about Killian Hayes coming back now than I was probably high on him when he got injured initially, just because, in large part, I should say, because of the development of Isaiah Stewart and Saben Lee, for that matter, and obviously Sadiq Bey. And if Troy Weaver was able to, find these diamonds a little early in some people's minds on some of the picks, and a good value pick with Sadiq Bey, that he should be able to knock this number 7 pick out of the park, whatever his process is. So that excites me. Killian's energy and the couple clips we saw here before the game seemed to be good. All the reports coming out that he's taking this rehab extremely seriously, trimmed down a little bit even, hopefully taking advantage of being able to just work him back slowly into the rotation so he doesn't get overwhelmed, because I think there was a little bit of that initially when they started him right away.
Yeah, and I think you hit it on the head with the cherry on the sundae. I mean, it feels like a Killian Hayes positive last few weeks of the season would really kind of feel like winning with the house's money, right? Because if they sputtered to the end, I mean, based on all the positive things we've seen from these young guys so far this season, that I can't really imagine something happening in these last 35 games that would leave a negative taste in your mouth going into next season. It feels like this young core, the Jeremy Grant story, all the rookies, what's going on with these guys, I think you can feel good about all of these guys going into next season. And even if you're chalking up Killian Hayes' first season to a wash right now and nothing good happened, that would still be an overall positive feeling to have about this team. If you can get a couple of good quarters here and there from Killian Hayes, I mean, that would just make you feel even better that you got, like you said, a number seven type of talent that is a piece that you can rely on or hope for going forward. I mean, that would just be great. But another question that you brought up yesterday is what does this do for Sekou? I know that we talked about the French connection and who knows, you know, how much those guys really I don't have anything too negative about them, but are they great friends? Will they spark something in Sekou? And it's an obvious part, an obvious kind of side discussion that we haven't really had too much this year is Sekou and the trade deadline's coming up. He's the last guy here from last year. You could see Troy Weaver possibly sweetening up maybe one of the veterans with Sekou or adding Sekou to one of these now pretty decent second-round picks and going for another type of piece, maybe trying to get into the bottom of the first round, something like that. Where are you at with Sekou? I think lately you've been even in these games where overall maybe they're not blowing your socks off with anything he's doing, but there's been a few moments here and there where you're kind of – positive about things. I know I've been a little bit of a Sekou homer these couple years, so maybe I'm always looking on the bright side, like one of my sons out there having a good game. But I don't know. Do you see a little bit more spirit from Sekou these last few games, or am I kind of imagining things?
It's spotty. I've certainly seen it recently, but it comes and goes. There are some nights when there is just no joy watching him play basketball, and it doesn't look like he's happy. I hope Killian Hayes comes back and sparks something in him that's more, you know, consistent and sustainable for Sekou's sake. You're a Sekou homer. The trajectory of how I feel about Sekou right now is going in the wrong direction. It seems like right now I'm more scared about holding on too long, you know, before there's no value left in him versus I've got to keep reminding myself that he's 20 years old, because I'm just not seeing the development I'm seeing out of other people his age. And, you know, that is a little bit unfair because he started playing basketball late. So, you know, you've got to put in some learning curve. But you do see the physical skills. He made a lot of cuts today. There were, you know, he was engaged, in the game. So I see flashes, but I still just don't see a lot of joy out of Sekou on the court. And I hope something that Killian can kind of spark out of him, because I think their games could really complement each other going up and down the court, because they both, like to run. So, you know, I would really like to see something click between them, because right now it's one of those things that, you know, either Sekou's going to have one big moment where it all clicks for him, I think, coming up here soon, hopefully, or this might be a draft pick we look back at and say, you know, we maybe held on to him a little bit too long and should have moved him a little earlier and gotten some more value for him.
Yeah, I just think that the value right now is low enough to where it's not really worth it to hedge that bet and to cash it in right now. There's really been nothing to me that'd be meaningful enough to get something for him. And still, I got to throw the 20-year-old card out there one more time and just say, you know, year three is maybe a little bit more maybe you have a little bit more urgency about year three than you would have maybe expected to, based on really, and to no fault of his own, how solid that some of his teammates are playing in that young group that have kind of overshadowed him. Some of those guys, keep in mind, are older than Sekou and have certainly been playing basketball longer than him too. So, you know, it's again, you can attach him to a second and maybe try to move up in the draft, but to me, that's not really worth the potential positives that you could be losing if he develops. And maybe he's a trade piece next year, or maybe he's a player for you in a couple years. So, again, we'll see. And I get it. Like, I'm not saying he's having a good season or anything like that. But to me, the risk is still too much that you'd be cashing in on something that there's really, I mean, you do some betting these days on the apps and they give you that cash out of $3 when you got a $20 bet down. Well, you might as well just wait and see if this $20 bet wins as opposed to taking that $3 to coin a modern day Michigan sports betting phrase there. But up next, we are going to talk about, speaking of sports betting, the name and what's up with the new network affiliation that the Pistons are going to have in a couple of weeks with the trade deadline, by the way, just a week from today, March 25th. That's coming up next year on the Locked On Pistons podcast, which is a proud member of the Locked On Network, your team every day.
Brother Brian here, celebrating a Pistons cover and an over that came in. Bet Online is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football might be over, but the NBA, college basketball, and the NHL are in full swing. BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV. Real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
We've been telling you about Built Bar, the best-tasting protein bar on the market for a while now. Built Bar is the amazing low-calorie, low-sugar, high-protein, high-fiber, amazing-tasting protein bar with 100% chocolate on all bars. Now is the time to find out which Built Bar is best. It is Built Bar Madness, and today's matchup is Coconut Puff versus Peanut Butter. Coconut Puff versus Peanut Butter, to me, we're talking about the best of the best. So to get into this, the savory eight is going to be a real tough task for one of these teams. Coconut Puff against Peanut Butter. Go on and make your vote. My vote is going to be for Coconut Puff. Just going to throw that out there. Coconut Puff is one of my favorites. And to me, all the peanut butter flavors are good. Don't get me wrong. But none of them have separated themselves, in my opinion. So if I'm reaching for a Built Bar in the morning and I got a choice between Coconut Puff and being a peanut butter, I'm going with Coconut Puff. That's my vote, and I'm sticking to it. Go to BuiltBar.com or to bar_built on Twitter. Make your votes. Remember to use promo code LOCKEDON15. I'm sorry, LOCKED15. Use promo code LOCKED15 to get 15% off your next order. That is LOCKED15 to get 15% off your next order at BuiltBar.com. And check back to see who won today's matchup and who will become the best-tasting protein bar. Get more analysis on the top prospects available in this year's NBA draft with the Locked On NBA Draft podcast. Scouting reports, draft rumors, mock drafts, and full coverage of March Madness 4 days a week from credentialed draft experts. Subscribe today and follow Locked On NBA Draft. Brother Brian here joining us on a live reaction podcast from the Pistons' 116-112 win against the Toronto Raptors. And we will have Fridays with Brian tomorrow, where Brian's going to tell us about that NCAA tournament and who to be watching for, what the top prospects look like. The All-American teams came out with a lot of the usual suspects on there. Hunter Dickinson of the Michigan Wolverines on the second team as well. But a lot of good stuff coming up in the NCAA tournament. Actually gets ready going tonight with the Michigan State Spartans with the late game, about 10 o'clock, taking on UCLA. Of course, all the games from Indianapolis this month. But Brother Brian, the news broke, and we talked about this a little bit before as it came out nationally back in November, that Bally's Sports was going to be taking over the name of a lot of the regional sports networks, one of them being Fox Sports Detroit. So March 31st, the day before Tigers opening day, Fox Sports Detroit will change its name to Bally Sports Detroit. Nothing else is going to really change. This doesn't mean you're going to be on YouTube TV. Doesn't change any of that Sinclair stuff. So, unfortunately, just a naming rights thing. But Bally's is a famous kind of old school. It's on the Strip. It's a casino hotel on the Las Vegas Strip in Nevada. But and it's been overtaken by some of the more behemoths out there in Las Vegas. So it's not the big name that it used to be. But it's got kind of a old school sports betting feel to that. I remember they used to do a lot of the sports radio shows from Bally's in Las Vegas back in the day. And Bally's Sports Detroit is just another way for sports betting to be in your face while watching Pistons games this year.
Yeah, and it's just further kind of blurring the line between, you know, what's the relationship between these pro sports teams and these, you know, gambling brands. You know, for years, teams in all the sports were kind of kept out of Vegas because, you know, sports didn't necessarily want to, you know, get themselves in bed with those, you know, that world. But that world became so lucrative and so, you know, more socially acceptable, I guess, as times go on. So, you know, the mixture of those two, the social acceptance, the amount of money we're talking about, and I think that's certainly the much more important one of those two things. But once they saw the money that can be made with these things, like, you know, you mentioned the Pistons have how many partnerships right now with gambling? Yeah. Five partnerships. I mean, these companies seem to not be able to, you know, climb over each other to get money to people to put their name on something at this point. So it's just kind of further blurring that line, that relationship between sports gambling and the professional sports leagues. One that will be interesting to see how that evolves over the next generation or so.
Yeah, it's an oversaturation of certainly the ads and the exposure on TV right now, and we'll see if that kind of slows down as the market settles a little bit here in Michigan and Detroit. I suspect that it might during the summer, but then it comes back in full force come football season next year. But the numbers came out on Tuesday from the first full month of online sports betting here in the state of Michigan. Over $300 million of sports wagers in the state of Michigan. And combine that with the 10 days in January after the January 22nd launch, about $417 million wagered on sports just in the great state of Michigan, just online here. And that's not with, you know, that's not during NFL season. That's just the conference championships and the Super Bowl. It's not the playoffs for any of these other, the football or the basketball or the hockey playoffs, and baseball season's not going. So we know where this is going. It's going to be huge money. Interesting that Bally's isn't even an operator that's in Michigan. They are investing a lot of money, as this move obviously shows. They're going to be in other states eventually under a Bally's online sportsbook, but that's not happening right now in Michigan. There is one license out there that's semi-unspoken for with Soaring Eagle. They've talked about having their own online branded products going forward, and I do believe that's what's going to happen, but it's still out there. They haven't gotten that license from the Michigan Gaming Control Board. So a lot of inside baseball stuff that maybe Pistons fans don't quite care about, but hopefully there's an intersection of folks that really care about the gambling. And do follow us at PlayMichigan.com for all that information and all the in-depth stuff. I've been fascinated diving into the business end of it, and I know that if you want to be an informed sports fan these days, you got to kind of know at least a little bit about betting to stay hip with the times, so to speak. And we'll see how this all kind of shakes out in the future. And sorry to all those who out there who might be already tired of the ads, but just do it like you do all the other ads you see on TV and kind of tune them out. Check your phone during the commercial breaks, and we'll see how this all evolves. But that wraps up this edition of Locked On Pistons. I am your host, Matt Shook. He is Brother Brian. Now, tell your smart device to play the most recent episode of Locked On Fantasy Basketball. Have a great day, and we'll talk to you guys tomorrow.